is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon. I hope all is well. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And guess what? I have an amazing show for you tonight. So this show is going to be one of a three-part series. And it was prompted just by seeing not only what was in the news, but also conversations that I've been noticing on social media for the past few weeks. So this three-part series, we're going to talk about immigration. And I'm not bringing on any immigration experts, any lawyers. We are going to do this together. We're going to glean information and discuss based on what is publicly published on the respective government's websites. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I'm not vetting anyone yet to come and speak on the radio with authority, because that requires time, right? You need referrals. You need to. So I'm not vetting anyone. So we're gonna have a conversation. This is gonna be one of a three-part series. Today is gonna be the series discussing and focusing on the U.S. of A. Next week we're gonna be talking about Canada, and then in the third week we're going to be talking about the U.K. And this three-part series, I would like you to contribute and be a part of it so much. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Just because there's so much misinformation going around, there's just so much conversations that are had without the facts. And so, you know, I love to have fact-based conversations. I think it's important. I think that, you know, we have the ability to go on the internet and glean information for ourselves and not necessarily depend on third parties that may or may not have our best interests at heart. Especially if you're paying, you know, really large sums of money, especially if there's no checks and balances and you're going to just, you know, kind of pick up and go on someone's word. I think it's important that, you know, you do get assistance where it's credible and vetted. But at the end of the day, it's up to us, buyer beware, to do our own due diligence. So I believe in taking personal responsibility for whatever information you get. And it puts you in a seat where you're not ever going to be a victim. Not that it may not happen, but it's going to reduce it. So I think this conversation is kind of past its prime. It's been overdue, and we definitely need to tackle it. So if you're listening tonight and you want to be a part of the conversation, 242-422-4796, 242-422-4796. That's if you want to go ahead and text. If you want to message me directly, I will read those, but it's not going to get as much preference as a text. And it's only because I have to wade through so much nonsense in my inbox sometimes. So you can go ahead and if you want to send me a message on Facebook, you just type in Odaz Gibbs. Yes, not like Born or Benaby anymore. I got married last week. Producer, you didn't know that, did you? He did not. He's like, what are you talking about? So you're going to type in Odaz, O-D-A-Z, G-I-B-B-S, and go ahead and send me a message, and I'm going to read your comments. So let's look at the news. This is partially what prompted these conversations, and I find this to be an extremely concerning trend. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I do know what's going on, but if we're not paying attention, we are going to miss the plot. So in the news today, financial crimes rise 54% to a five-year high. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of this because I found this to be extremely disturbing. But also, are we watching the trends collectively as a nation? And what is contributing to it? Because we cannot look at crime in isolation. I saw the other headlines talking about, you know, the increase in rapes, you know, whatever the increase was in murders. These are also very important metrics that we have to look at, because these lead directly to being a barometer of the health of the nation financially with economics. And there's no way to look at the health of a country without looking at the barometer. And one of the barometers is the economics. How are Bahamians faring? You know, last week we did the budget and I got so many messages after the show. Thank you so much for that. And one of the things that stood out to me was that almost every single person messaged me, even if they were in a state that was comfortable, inflation was such a problem. And it's happening globally. It's happening, you know, in the US, it's happening in the UK, it's happening all around the world. However, what was our baseline before that? We were already like number, I think it was 5 or 6 of the most expensive countries in the world. And so when you add inflation on top of what we were already experiencing, a lot of Bahamians are falling through the cracks. I was just having a conversation today in a group that I'm in. We talk about, you know, real estate and investing, group of ladies. And one of them is just talking about somewhere she lived 10 years ago, right here in New Providence. And she dreads going through the corner now because it's so different. You know, what was once a fairly, you know, middle class, fairly nice families, all of that, she described now as dilapidated with so many vagrants. And that's not the first time I've heard of this. So what is happening? Are we as a society developing and evolving? Are citizens getting better prospects? Like, what's happening to the average Bahamian? Is there a decline? Was it because of, you know, COVID? What's causing it? And so it's impossible to just say, oh, you know, we're going to be tough on gangs and we're going to crack down. Yes, that's a part of it. I agree. But you also have to look at the contribution that is going to come to crime from persons who may not necessarily have chosen that, but they are extremely desperate. Let me tell you a story. So years ago, and I hope he's not listening, although you would have had to work in this very small department to know who this is, but he doesn't mind telling the story because I've said it before. So I used to work with someone and he had a very difficult time, even though legally he had 2 jobs, right? So he had a job in the day that he worked along with me beside. And then he had a night job. He had 2 jobs. And he still found it so difficult to make ends meet because he was taking care of a sibling that was disabled. He was also taking care of another family member that was too elderly to work. So household, full of responsibilities, medication, you know, the whole nine, food, electricity, light, etc. That eventually, and we didn't know this at the time, we only found out years later, right? Because he eventually got arrested, but he turned to crime. And, you know, this was hard for me to believe because this is someone who was so hardworking, who was so diligent, and I'm not giving him a pass by any means. But he was just so desperate. And he tried so many things. He had, you know, part-time businesses. And so I'm not excusing it by any means, but we need to understand context. It's important. So again, financial crimes rise by 54%. Some of these crimes, I was reading the descriptions. That requires brains, right? Obviously applied in the wrong direction. But what is driving Bahamians to this? This is not who we are as a people. I don't know us to be like this. Forgery. I'm reading it. Forged documents. Right? Fraud by false pretenses. Is right there in the paper. Libel, extortion, hacking, computer misuse, threats. All in financial crimes. Is this who we are? I didn't think it was. Shocking to me. It goes on to talk about shop breakings and also home invasions. And so when you have an economy where the average Bahamian feels that they cannot participate, and when I say feels, you can call and text in and say, well, that's not the case, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's fine. However, not everyone is going to be exceptional. And the reason why I'm using that word is because it is what it is. In order to thrive here, it takes a bit of, you know, a bit of exceptional ability. And I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm talking about just steadfastness, follow-up, consistency, resilience. And not everyone has a safety net to allow for the failings of that progress. And so if we are a capitalistic country, so we say, but we aren't really, because of our policies, the banking laws, what is the average Bahamian to do? Or is the Bahamian dream limited to whatever we can do? And so these are the things I want to talk about tonight. But I want to put a focus on immigration, because I saw some conversations about immigration over the past 2 weeks, and there were so many misconceptions and so many people reaching out for assistance to people that are not necessarily qualified. And I was like, well, you know, a lot of that information is there kind of online. You could just type in USCIS.gov and boom, the information pops up. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. So please text in your roll calls. I see a few of them coming in already. I'm going to read them, I promise. 242-422-4796. 422-4796. Go ahead and text me. Let me know where you're listening in from. I'm going to read this text. Congratulations on your marriage, Daz. Hope it is filled with happiness. Thank you so much. It is only going to get worse with this digital future. People can rob you long distance for all you have. Desperate times create desperate people. Thank you for your text. Yes, desperate times do create desperate people. And so, you know, a lot of times when people talk about, well, people shouldn't this and that, they're speaking from a place of privilege. And it's important to be aware of your privilege when you bring in narratives, which is one of the reasons why the space of social justice warrior kind of postures I'm wary of, because a lot of times the people bringing an awareness to the situation, like, we are aware. The greater public is aware that there is a problem. What the greater public needs is tangible help. So let's just say if you're bringing awareness to, I don't know, I don't want to call a cause because I don't want anyone to think I'm talking about them, but sometimes taking that posture and applying that to education and becoming an attorney so you can help to, you know, change laws and lobby, that's an effective way that tangible assistance, you know, raising income and giving it directly to the groups that are disenfranchised and need it, contributing to education. And so bringing awareness is great. Marching is performative, all of it. But for the most part, we as a society are aware. And so we are at the point in our country where we need all hands on deck, and not necessarily from an external standpoint, just within our own households, right? Because this is where we are. You remember we did the budget last week, and that was just an average family trying to make sure that they keep some sort of middle ground, right? Prohibitive, almost, what was it? More than 70K a year, just in cost? Ridiculous. What are we getting for this? What is the value? So for a lot of persons who cannot navigate a society where you got to know someone or kisses go by favor or you can't get certain permits approved because it's not a category they're aware of, or you got to talk to this minister, no one has time for this. Ridiculous. Some Bahamians are better off abroad. And I have to keep saying that because it's not encouraging the brain drain. But if you want to keep Bahamians home, the best and the brightest, they're not going to be the ones who know how to constantly tip and finagle and necessarily do all these things. When in other countries, they could just register for $40 and they get an email within 2 days. Why go through all of this? And then on top of that, I hear so many stories about Bahamian businesses that were doing well, and the landlord will increase the rent because they're monitoring their business. And the landlord doesn't know what their profit margin is. They're just seeing the influx. They don't know what the margin is. Do you know the cost of doing business is so high in this country? They have no idea. So it's similar to VAT. You know, VAT doesn't care what your margin is. It's just taking it off the gross, right? Gone. And so is this environment hospitable to business? And if you're an entrepreneur, does it make sense to live here? How easy is it to get a business line of credit? Unsecured. Is easy if you want a car? I don't know. And then one can argue and say, oh, you know, it's a small country and the banks are... Understood. However, if you want the best and the brightest to remain in the country, you have to create policies. You have to temper commercial banks sometimes in their ability for certain practices that could be viewed as predatory. Not saying they are. They could be viewed as on the citizens. You have to. So do we need persons in place who understand that? Because, I mean, it's fine to elect what we elect, you know, lawyers, doctors, that's fine. But if we're going to take the nation in a certain direction, and I don't feel that governments are ever the answer to anything. They all are there to perform a certain function. You know, I'm neutral. I don't think that, you know, in a lot of cases it has a dramatic effect. There are so many pros and cons. Politics, you can argue about that till the kingdom come. They all sit down out west and break bread, right? They don't care about you and your arguments. Honestly, they don't. I've seen them. They're friends. They're good. So let's talk a little bit about, and I'm going to go to a break shortly. I see your texts coming in and your check-ins. So we got a check-in from Carmichael. Thanks for listening. We've got a check-in from Atlanta. Thanks for listening. We have a check-in. Where is this? I think this got cut off, but it looks like it's saying Toronto. So if it is, thank you so much for listening. We have a check-in from London. I have a check-in from Abaco. Okay, this is the first time. Also a check-in from Freeport. Thanks for listening. So go ahead and send your check-ins. I like to know where people are listening from. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And guess what we were talking about tonight? Immigration. We're talking about immigration is going to be one of a three-part series. Tonight, we're talking about the U.S. of A. Next week, we're going to be talking about Canada. And the third week, we're going to be talking about the U.K. And this is for the Bahamians that have certain abilities but aren't necessarily thriving here, struggling to get grants, struggling to get business lines of credit, cost of doing business is prohibitive, profit margins are thin, you stop seeing your ATM receipt on the floor, not realizing you have expenses, and they're giving you the silent treatment because they want to raise. No increase in output, you know. No increase in productivity. Right? All these expenses. Barely making it. So some people say, you know what? Okay, enough. I still love my country. I can be a good Bahamian anywhere. And so these shows are for you. So let's go to, and if you're listening, I want you to go ahead and type. Thanks for sending in the text. I'm going to read them very shortly. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. I see someone sent their budget. We are not doing the budget tonight, but thank you for that because this budget is horrific. So tell me if you are, what size is your family? Because ladies and gentlemen, if you see this budget, they're showing me a total of 6,000 some. And none of this is luxury or splurging. I see pension here. I see grocery. I see gasoline. You know, it's just the basics. Rent. What's happening to us? Can Bahamians even afford to live? Have you ever looked at the average Bahamian's face in traffic? We're having a hard time, you know. And this is all areas. Out west, out east, in the south. Hard time. All right. So if you are in front of your laptop, or if you're listening on your phone, most of the apps will allow you to listen to me and still browse. We're going to type in uscis.gov/working in the United States. Because what we're not going to do on this show is talk about anything fraudulent, anything that is going to make the U.S. government take away our little pre-clearance. Because guess what? I like having that. And I need to go to Target. So y'all ain't going to mess this up for us. So we're going to talk about all the legal ways. And there's so many legal ways. And a lot of times it's like, why are people focused on anything else? And these are rumors, right? They're not working. So let's talk about it. All right. So working in the United States, they have a list on the left that are pathways. And these pathways, again, depend on what it is that you want to do and how you're going to do it. So one of the first ones on the top, and this is one that I actually had never seen before, and this one is called International Entrepreneur Rule. And so if you click on the top one, you will see that that is the first one. And so basically what this is talking about entrepreneurs granted parole to be eligible to work in the U.S. only for their startup business. And the spouse and the children of the non-citizen entrepreneur may also be eligible. Also, the spouse may be able to apply for work authorization. And so this international entrepreneur rule is up to 3 entrepreneurs per startup entity. So if you have a startup, and there's some guidelines, we're going to talk about the eligibility in a second, but you have a startup, you got 3 founders, everyone has a wife or a husband, children, this can be a potential pathway, depending on some specifics. A lot of people have never heard of this. And so a lot of information is there, you know, and sometimes it just requires just a little bit of research. So let's talk about the eligibility of this. Entrepreneurs applying for parole under this rule must show that they have a substantial ownership in a startup entity created in the past 5 years in the United States that has substantial potential for rapid growth and job creation. So the startup has to be in the U.S. And yes, you can start a business in the U.S. without being a citizen or a resident. That's very possible. And it has to be doing extremely well or has the potential. Rapid growth, job creation, a really good idea, very good execution and growth. You must also have a central and active role in the startup entity so that you're well positioned to substantially help with the growth and success. So being a founder is great, but you should also be active and will also lend to the growth of the business itself. The business should also provide a significant public benefit to the United States based on their role as an entrepreneur of the startup entity by showing these things: that the startup entity has received a significant investment of capital from certain qualified U.S. investors with established records of successful investments, which means it can't be your auntie, uncle, cousin say, all right, I throw a little $100,000 in your business. It should be a group that has a track record for, you know, funding businesses that are successful. That's what it has to be. They're vetting for these things. So these things all have guidelines. They're not difficult, but you have to be aware of them. The second thing, the startup entity has received significant awards or grants for economic development, research and development, or job creation, or other types of grants and awards typically given to startup entities from federal, state, or local government entities that regularly provide such awards or grants to startup entities. The business has to be a winner, right? And that must be proven by grants or awards. Do we have a caller? We do? Let me grab this very quickly. Hi, caller.
Hi, host.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
So I'm calling and listening to your show.
Okay.
And I have a concern.
Sure. Tell me the concern.
One of the concerns within this opportunity that they provide in America that I wonder and is a concern that I see in them not speaking to is that the racial overtones. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that was the producer of Pink Panther, or Black Panther, sorry, multimillionaire, he was stopped in the bank, handcuffed, and pulled at gunpoint. All across America, the sporadic attacks on people of color is spiked. There are more racial groups There has been a strong push against people of color in every industry. You have people being manipulated. There was a story about, for example, Kevin Garnett, his agent. He's mm-hmm. a famous basketball player. Mm-hmm. Stole like $70 million from him. Mm-hmm. There's an ex-NFL player who got $800,000 he was trying to put into a trust and they wouldn't allow it. Mm-hmm. And these things, as I do the research, are happening all over America. So it's so hard to not determine or to pinpoint exactly where these racist people mm-hmm. are at, because they are littered through the country. And my problem is that because we don't talk about these issues, right? Mm-hmm. And then they provide these things, we don't get to closely examine what their benefits are and how it will, the ramifications of us actually uprooting ourselves and then being placed in these extremely hostile environments towards us as people of color. Now,
so caller, let me stop you right there. So I'm definitely going to speak on it.
I don't want to say it again.
However, no, I said I'm going to speak on to your comments, but right. living here is extremely hostile as well. Do you agree? Yes or no?
What I realized with living here more mm-hmm. than living in America, the hostility over here is a certain cure we have from it. And
what's the cure?
Let me show you why. The cure is that I think in the Bahamas, I stand a better chance. Mm-hmm. Right, of a fellow Bahamian giving me, even though it might not be as good, a better deal than mm-hmm. going, say, for example, a place like Louisiana or a place like Texas or Florida and have people preying on you and people manipulating you. I mean, I could send you the research. It's all over and it's really bad. And then the racially motivated murders and crimes in that country mm-hmm. has skyrocketed and spiked. And that's why I am saying is that when we go into these countries and we go into a country like America, which is, I mean, 5 times more hostile towards people of color than probably anywhere else in the world. And we look at their history of manipulating, taking advantage of in all industries.
Thanks, Carter. Let me just stop you right there, only because we have a very limited time, and I want to comment on this, right? So thank you so much for your contribution. I definitely appreciate you calling in. So here's the thing. When you're a hammer, everything is going to look like a nail. One of the most successful groups of immigrants in America are Nigerians. And I know of several, more than I can count on one hand, Bahamian millionaires that are living extremely well in the U.S. If you personally are uncomfortable with living there, because like I said, we're doing a series of one of three shows. We're going to do U.S., Canada, U.K., and you love being here and you think you stand a better chance and you're thriving, by all means, stay. This is not necessarily a show that you're going to enjoy. But please understand that there are many success stories, but a lot of them are hesitant to come on because they don't want their cousins here hitting them up for money. I just spoke to a Bahamian abroad last week, and she's worth $13 million. She refuses to come on air. She does not want people to know her assets, what she's doing. I also know of local Bahamians doing extremely well also. So yes, you may have racial undertones. That's always going to happen. You also have them here. If you look at the density of crime, I don't think here is that much safer. Look at the density and look at the context. So I think it's important for us as Bahamians to look at things holistically. Obviously, if you're going to go to a place that has certain racial tensions and history, it's going to be hostile. Why are you going there? Are you looking for that? Don't go in that area. And if you're comfortable here, by all means, stay. This show is not to encourage anyone to go. This show is for the ones that want to go. See the opportunity, that don't mind the context. It's for them. It's for them. That's all it is. It's for them. So let me read a couple of your texts. So this one says, listening from downtown Nassau. Thank you so much. Hi, checking in from Goodman's Bay. Loving it. Thank you so much. Thank you for texting. Here's another text. So it says, Daz, crime has become a victim of capitalism. Record companies investing in prisons and putting out music to encourage young black men to end up in these prisons. Even in our society, crime is big business. Have you heard how much they say each prisoner is costing us per year in Fox Hill Prison? It would shock you. I'm wondering who's getting paid that money. Crime and dysfunction pays, and those benefiting don't want the boat rocked. Nothing will change. So my response to that, I agree with you 100%. And this is why I always talk about divesting away from what is pushed as black culture. Stop listening to the music. Stop supporting these artists. Stop ingesting it. See, the problem is we have no standard as black people collectively. We do not. They push out any Sexy Red, any whoever. Not picking on her because, you know, good for her, right? She's making money for her family. But obviously, it's being cherry-picked. So our branding as who we look at, who we look like globally as black people is very bad. It's not good branding at all. And so what do we do about that? The only thing you can do yourself is create a higher standard and to not ingest it and push it and to not accept it. And that is the only way the perception will change. Because a lot of the perceptions are not inaccurate and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the reason it's not inaccurate is because if you spend a lot of time in the U.S. around certain demographic groups, they act just the way the music says. And so why is that? Is that the music is being created from the culture or is the culture influencing the music? And so we have to be aware of these things and do our parts individually. Because if nobody's buying the music or ingesting it or listening to it or supporting it, they're going to stop selling it. And so we have to be concerned about our brand. We have to have high standards for ourselves. Other races are very aware of the problems that black people have. And sometimes they will say it in jest. They're aware. They know. Oh, y'all, blah, 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 blah. And so what do? You have one or two choices. Get angry. Call a person a racist. Freak out. That did nothing, right? You're emotionally triggered. You're lost. They control you now because you don't practice stoicism, right? You're triggered. You're angry. And triggering only comes from a place where there's a nugget of what you believe subconsciously deep down is a truth. Because if someone walked in your house and called you a frog, you would just be like, that's not true. But if they say something else and you get upset, why? Because there's some little tiny area of you that maybe believes it as well. So we have to be aware of our triggers so that we can grow from them. I don't think being triggered is a bad thing. It's a very good thing. I look forward to them because then you get to examine what is lurking in your psyche that is not at the top. So again, we have the power to change culture. But if we don't, if we think it's cute, if we laugh, if we ingest it, if we continue to buy, you know, clothing that looks representative of the culture, right? And I want to be very careful how I word this because I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression. But at the end of the day, there's definite cultural divides and divisions and perceptions based on how you present yourself. And it's pointless saying, well, people should. People aren't going to and they don't care. So get over it. The world we live in is superficial. People take things at face value. And the quicker you accept that, the easier it is for you to fall in line according to the goals you have to achieve instead of trying to fight the world and being angry because it's going to get you nowhere. And so that's a lot of my issue with certain groups, right? What are you fighting for? Stop it. You're not making progress, right? And so these are things that we have to be aware of. I'm going to take a break in just a second, but I'm going to read more of your texts. Even our criminals being monitored is big money. I feel the police should be responsible for that. I heard Howard Grant say that they are paid between $2 and $3 per hour per bracelet. 600 persons a year equals $13 million. So when it's like this, crime will be encouraged because it's a business now. Well, Daz, I don't think I can live in any of these places, America, Canada, nor the UK. I prefer places where the majority of the people look like me. Well, I did want to do a fourth country, but I couldn't decide. So, Texter, what would be a fourth country where the people look like you? Because I was torn. There's a couple of choices. Some of them are in South America. A few are in the Middle East. A few are in Africa, on the African continent. So maybe I should put up a poll, do a vote. and talk about, because I can talk about Dubai, I can talk about Ghana, I can talk about, you know, Senegal, I can talk about South America, different places in there, such as, I don't recommend Brazil, but like, you know, Panama. There's other places. I don't recommend Argentina for obvious reasons. Mexico, certain states, other Caribbean countries as well, although I don't know why we'd want to do that necessarily. I think we're the best. No offense to anyone listening. We got pre-clearance. They don't even have that in the Cayman Islands, right? We got pre-clearance. So we are very privileged in certain ways. We have to be aware of this. So here's another text. The people who own the music companies are not blacks themselves. The owners are the ones who create characters to influence our youth. Exactly. So we have to be aware of these things and not let it influence us. Look at it as recreation only. Don't take it seriously. Stop adopting the ideals. But see, the problem is, if we as a collective have no self-control, if we are overly promiscuous, if we are overly adulterous, if we rain children down from the sky with no representation or any sort of awareness of how they're going to be fed, if we are anti-marriage, if we are pro destruction of sort, if we are pro alcohol and pro, you know, destroying your body with certain kinds of foods, we have to look at what our beliefs are. And is that cultural? Because certain foods that we even eat is because it was slave food. But we adopt it and we love it. And that's our culture. And if you eat a certain way, they're going to say, oh, you eating like them? Who? Oh, you think you... See, we got things to do. We got work to do. It's embedded in our psyche. So until we fix that, nothing will change. I personally don't know if a lot of those mindsets could be changed, because something like 80% of people do not consciously review their thoughts. They just live, right? 20% can. They have an internal dialogue. The rest don't. And that's not a bad thing, because obviously if that didn't happen, nothing will get done in the world. So we've got, you know, different people in different categories, and we need it for the world to function. But if that is the case and people are just living out based on just what they've learned in their function, based on the stats that we have, it's going to take years to breed out certain mindsets, especially if the people who are living contrary to that are not visible, because they're going to be ostracized and they're going to be harassed and seen as social pariahs by the rest of the black community. So y'all have me so off topic tonight. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Y'all have me so off topic. Please, let's not muddy the water. This is for the ones who want it. If you don't want it and you're happy, stay. No one cares what you do. Mind your own business, all right? That's the bottom line, right? Let people do what they want. You do what you want. Let people enjoy things. You enjoy things. That's all it is. Don't worry about it. And there's no need to persuade people right or left, because you don't know what is best for someone based on their advice, right? Okay, good. So how to apply. So this is pretty simple, and we're going to take a break in just a second. They have all of the fee schedules here. They have the forms. They've got the form I-941, etc. And they also have the form for application for the spouse and the children, right? And then they have the guidelines on exactly what to do, you know, with the passport, you know, arriving, free interview, et cetera, et cetera. And then they have a Q&A. So please continue sending your texts. I see them. I'm going to get to them, I promise. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Good or bad, criticism or positive, whatever it is, text it. I want to read it. I'm very curious. I like to see how everything is being received, because that helps me with content. So let's take a quick commercial break. And when we get back, I'm going to go in the temporary workers category. And there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 categories under that alone. And one of these is going to piss me off when I read them, because the Bahamas is not on this list. And why didn't we not sign that treaty? Jamaica's on there. Anyhow, we can wrap with that in a second. I'm just going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And yeah, send in your text, comments, whatever, your votes for the third, fourth country, 242-422-4796. Stick and stay.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, plumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say for starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And tonight, we are talking about immigration, one of three conversations. Tonight, USA, next week, Canada, third week, UK, and then the fourth week, I need everyone to vote. So far, I'm seeing votes for Barbados, I'm seeing votes for Panama, I'm seeing votes for Mexico. I see three votes for Dubai. Dubai? Okay, we could get into it. A couple of people saying the African continent with the least Western influence. All right, so let me read this text. Yes, Daz, on the African continent, one with the least Western influence. Here's the thing about that. To a lot of African countries with the least Western influence, you know how we come off? We come off as incels to them. And what is an incel, right? I want to talk about the connotation of the word. Of what the meaning is. So basically, it's a subculture of people who find themselves, and this is just the online definition. They find themselves outside or the fringes of society. They're not unable to get romantic or intimate partners, right? Despite desiring one. So a lot of them turn to violence, but they're considered fringe in the society. When Western, and you're Western influenced by every means, there's no doubt about it. When we go in countries like that, we are considered to be the incels. We're considered to be outside of society. If you watch the channel Go Black to Africa, he talks about this. And there's a lot of other channels that are tracking the number of deaths in these African countries, various ones, Tanzania, Ghana. What's the other one with begins with a K? The one with all the giraffes. What's the country? Kenya. Where Black Americans are relocating, they're talking about it online, and then they're finding them deceased, murdered, allegedly, right? And so what's going on? Because a lot of times you're going into a country and you're bringing your culture, you're bringing your ideals, you're bringing your thoughts about women and men and relationships, sometimes in a very traditional society, and they see you as a bad influence. You're dressing the way you want to dress in a lot of cases. So we still have to have sensitivity that not everywhere is still going to embrace you with open arms just because your skin presents the same way that their skin presents. That doesn't mean anything. You still have to be culturally sensitive and you still have to read the room. And a lot of that is happening in South America also, right? Persons that are reading the room, they're making all these claims online about what they're going to do to the citizens when they arrive there, whether it be the men or the women, what they feel entitled to from people in quote unquote poorer countries. They're winding up, they're finding them dead. Right. So you cannot ever assume that anyone else is going to, you know, just with open arms. You still have to be careful. You still have to do your due diligence. You still have to look at cultural fit also. Because unfortunately, a lot of us are very westernized. You're not going to just seamlessly fit into some of these societies. You're not. And it's even things that are unconscious. Like I was watching this YouTube video and this lady said that she, I think, was helping out a friend of hers part time in her store. Like she's helping her with marketing, helping her with. And a couple walked in and she addressed the woman first. And that was like the biggest social faux pas. And the lady basically told her, don't come back because you're offending clients. And that's something she didn't even really realize. So you have to understand that, you know, it's a huge culture. Sometimes there's language barriers and you're not necessarily safe. So just as you would anywhere else, you still have to be careful. And every culture you have to navigate. And so I just want to say that as a word of caution. So let's continue on the 16 categories. So temporary worker doesn't necessarily mean you can only go over for 3 months or 6 months and come back. Some of them have extensions. Some of them are temporary, you know, 3 years, 5 years. Some are renewable to 7 years, depending on what it is. So we just run through them. We have CW1. All of these are not, as Bahamians, we're not eligible for. I will be honest. If you read each category, we are excluded from a lot of these. And so you just have to go and read. So we've got the E1, treaty traders, E2, treaty investors. And so this one is the one that was very upsetting to me. Because Jamaica is on this list and signed the treaty and the Bahamas is not on this list. And this could help many Bahamians so that they don't have to come up with $800,000 to $1.8 million to invest in the economy. They could come up with, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000. Can someone please text me and tell me why, if you know, why we as the Bahamas did not sign this treaty? Jamaica signed it. And they're telling their citizens to take advantage of it. Why? Why are we not on this list? Please tell me. We have a whole pre-clearance. AUTEC is bigger than I don't know what. You know, the airspace, I don't know what's going on with that. Why didn't we sign the treaty? Please tell me. I don't want to think it's intentional, but please tell me why if you know why. All right, E3, specialty occupations and professionals from Australia. Obviously, that won't apply to us. H1B, specialty occupations and fashion models. We've got H2A, agricultural workers. H2B, non-agricultural workers. You've got H3, non-immigrant trainees. You've got you've got L1A, intracompany transfers, L1B, intracompany transfers, specialized knowledge. You've got O1, individuals with extraordinary ability or achievements. You've got P1A, an internationally recognized athlete. A lot of Bahamians are over there on that. P1B, member of an internationally recognized entertainment group. You've got P2, performer or group performing under a reciprocal exchange program. A lot of Bahamians under that. P3, artist or entertainer, part of a culturally unique program. Q, cultural exchange. R1, temporary religious workers. And then you've got TN, NAFTA professionals, which I don't think we fall under that. So that is under the temporary list. That is a lot to read. How much did we count? 17? So it isn't just what you hear, right? That's illegal. There's so many legitimate pathways that you could, you know, travel back and forth. You only end up stuck. And a lot of Bahamians don't do this. So compared to a lot of other countries, we do not have high rates of overstay, which is why we are pre-clearance. Bahamians, for the most part, we're extremely responsible and we love home. A lot of us are not just running over there. However, having access to run business while living here for a lot of Bahamians makes sense. I know a few people doing this. They run their businesses in the U.S. They live here and they have access to both, right? You also have Bahamians that pretend to live here and do not live here. They live right in Miami. I'm not going to talk it. but they do not live here. They take a lot of photos and they post them and they pretend to live here. They do not live here. They just pretend. They do business and they pretend. Okay? So that's what it is. So do not be fooled. A lot of people are taking advantage. They just are not talking it because they don't want all y'all hopping on it. So permanent workers. So these are if you're going to apply straight away for a green card based on. So you've got EB1, EB2, and these are preferences based on your skill level or achievements, EB3, EB4, EB5. And so most of them, like I said, depend on, you know, if you have an advanced diploma or not, if you are, you know, extraordinary ability, if you have something called a national interest waiver, meaning that your occupation or your contribution to the country is in the interest of the country. You're going to positively contribute. And we as Bahamians cannot get mad because the caller said, well, what's in it for them? Obviously, they want the best. That's why we should have these policies as well. We cannot get angry at them. This is how you make sure immigration is positive. But if we don't have policies in place and we don't have an environment that fosters attracting the best, we can't get angry, right? So we've got STEM employment pathways. So you've got immigrant pathways for STEM employment. non-immigrant pathways for STEM employment. That's two categories. You've got entrepreneur employment pathways. So you have non-immigrant ones and immigrant ones, meaning the ones who just want parole, they just want to be there for a while and do their work and come back, or the ones that want to stay permanently. And a little word about that. If you try to get permanent status in the U.S., you are going to be subject to paying taxes. A lot of Bahamians are not used to paying taxes directly. We're more used to indirectly. Also, the U.S. is a very litigious society, which means that you can get sued. There's a lot of other things going on in society. So you have to weigh the pros and cons, whether or not you could adapt to doing business in that way. There's a lot of positives as well. You can open an LLC as a non-resident. You know, there's certain tax benefits that you get as a benefit if you're a non-resident. And also there's business lines of credit that you can get as well, right? That limit your liability in other ways. So there's a pros and cons. You have to weigh them carefully, but you have to do due diligence. You can't play. That system, they will not play with you. You have to be focused on what it is you're doing. Students and exchange visitors, right? So that is another. So we all know about the F1, the F2, the M1, that's vocational. And then we know that goes all the way down to M2, M3, which doesn't apply to us. That's Canadian and Mexican. And then you have the exchange visitors, the J visas, J1 and J2. And then you have temporary visitors for business. And so obviously that's the B1. You've also got the WB, temporary visitor under the visa waiver program, which a lot of us fall under. And then at the bottom, they have important information about working legally in the United States, information for employers and employees, all right there. So it talks about if you get a job offer in the U.S., you know, what they need to file. Sometimes they have to file something called a PERM, which I think it's like the making sure, basically in a nutshell, is what happens here as well. Making sure that there's not a qualified American that can do your job where you have specialized knowledge. And so I know that process takes like, I think, 6 to 12 months. So that's there. Now, Canada, on the flip side, when we talk about that next week, a lot of their immigration pathways have a lot more options for the spouse to have working visas versus the U.S. A lot of the pathways here, the spouse cannot work. And so I know for a lot of persons that want that flexibility, then this may not be the society for you. Also, healthcare, you got to pay for a lot of that out of pocket. It can be expensive. So that's something to consider. You know, there's no PMH there. You're just going to walk into it. It does not work like that. You're going to pay to play. Health insurance is expensive. The food quality compared to a lot of other countries is not the best. And it's, I feel encouraged because the healthcare is so privatized. We're not going to get into that. So you have to monitor and be aware of what you're ingesting over there a lot more than here. Because believe it or not, for export only is not necessarily demonized food. We had that show, remember? So let me text. So it says, maybe we weren't invited because we are perceived to be wealthy. But there are some other wealthy countries that are in that E2 treaty list. You've got Canada there. You've got a lot of other countries. So why did we not sign that? I need to know that. That is bothering me. I don't know who has the answer. But why is it the Bahamas not on that list? So here's another text, because they want that money to stay here to frustrate and restrict us. You notice our phones can't even call U.S. Text to behave yourself, right? We're not going to get into that U.S. bank account conversation because y'all ain't get me in trouble. Last time I tried to do that show, I don't think Ali was here. But anyhow, we're not going to do that show. Go Google yourself. I ain't getting in it. I'm just saying, right? There are pathways for other things in other countries. And guess what? It may be in your best interest if you feel like you're completely restricted and frustrated to just go. And we will still love you. Just make sure and send your contribution back. You know, donate, do what you need to do. And we need to see you at Christmas time, you know, for Junkanoo. It is what it is. So here's another text that says, I agree with you, but I'm a Rasta man, so not carrying the Western mindset. Want to absorb myself into the culture. If you are truly Rastafarian and you follow it the way that it's supposed to be done without, you know, all of the negative connotations that unfortunately have bastardized your religion, I agree with you 100%. You will fit in and it will be easy. Here's another text. As if it's something that would give us regular citizens a better life, our government won't be for that. Plus, they want as many conks here as possible to pay taxes. You do realize you're talking about qualified individuals going to a foreign country to work. Our government wants them to pay taxes. We can tax Bahamian citizens on their worldwide income. We can do that, you know. That is not, there's nothing stopping our government. So you don't have to restrict opportunities just because you want a couple tax dollars. Just do the worldwide taxation. If I was in government, that's what I would do. I know that's not popular, but I would do it. I would say, listen, y'all feel free to roam the world, but every dollar you make, you're going to send back home to the government, and you better not, and I can make it hard to renounce your passport, right? So that's what other countries do. They tax their citizens worldwide on their earnings. The U.S. does it. I think Australia is either rolling out or does it. I think Canada has some concessions, depending on your resident and non-resident maintaining abroad. I'd have to look into that. But other countries have found a way around that. There is ways around everything, right? There's ways around everything. So here's another text. Oh, well, how are you? Thank you for texting. I'm not going to call your name on air. I hope you're well. I haven't seen you in a long time. Good stuff. Good stuff. But in a nutshell, let me give the name, because someone just texted asking for the website. Super easy to find. USCIS.gov. But if you go on Uncle Sam's land, pay the piper. You got to pay them taxes. You have to contribute, and then you can make a greater contribution here. You know what I would love to see? And some Bahamians of the diaspora have done it. You go abroad, you make that big pile of money, come back and donate, come back and develop your country, because that's how you get a strong network. The Nigerians are doing extremely well in the U.S. as a collective. If you Google it, you'll see so many articles written about them. They're amassing wealth. They're sending money back to Nigeria. There's no reason for you to be disenfranchised. And that's what we don't want. We don't want Bahamians to leave when they're angry and they never want to see the country again. We can't frustrate them to that point. We want it to be, you know, easy for them to leave. If you see, think citizenship is a marriage, let's have an amicable split. You know what? Never mind, because we don't know what that is in this country. So that answers my question. So why am I expecting someone out of the culture? I mean, people can't even get divorced here without it being, with it being irreconcilable differences, right? So we like contention. We like to frustrate people to lay out. And we like, oh boy, I didn't think about that. Culturally, we got to do better. Here's a text. So this says, Daz, I heard they're planning on privatizing the prison. Have you heard that rumor? Crime will just run higher. Imagine a privatized prison. It would become a true revolving door. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, we have to look at a holistic plan for the nation. And sometimes that will include allowing some of our citizens to go abroad to strengthen the resources to bring back here. And you can tax them worldwide. There's no issue with taxes, you know, but where's the money going? That's the only issue. But if you're paying taxes and you see it represented in infrastructure, it's a place you can be proud of. You know, the plane off to circle the airport for 4 hours, right? And keep landing back in Miami before they come. Hello, somebody. Flying the people over Andres and pretending, you know? What are we doing? Why is that happening? What's going on with the airport? We need to know. These are things we need to know. We just need the country to function properly. That's it. That's it and that's all. This show is going to be available for a replay. I may post the link. Well, this is easy to find. I don't need to post it, but I will post it on my page. It is what it is. You can go ahead and type in Beyond the Rock on Facebook. Follow the page, like the page, and I will post the links for the show. Because at the end of the day, you're a Bahamian no matter where you are, and we have to work on building the nation, even if that means from the outside, so that we can help a nation help itself when it's not identifying and fixing the problems long enough. And this is not a political conversation by any means. This is a collective conversation whose time has come, and we have to do the introspection, and we have to take responsibility for our results and look at what is going to change them. Thank you so much. That is my time. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And I'm looking forward to next week's conversation. We're going to be talking about Canada, the different pathways, and the advantages and the differences in society that may make it more advantageous for some Bahamians. And in some ways, it may not, because culturally, you think the U.S. liberal, a lot of y'all Bahamians have a rude awakening in Canada, right? We can talk about that a little bit, just a little bit. It is definitely contextually important. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Weekend. Have a great evening. Look at me trying to skip, Ali, I skipped into the weekend already. Have a great evening, everyone. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me. So you're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Have a good one. We'll have more conversations next week.